My mouth, meditations of our hearts, be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 21, verse 9, Matthew 21, verse 9. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. There is a huge crowd in Jerusalem because it is the feast of the Passover. And all of the Jews are required to come to Jerusalem for the three major feasts. And so they're in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover as was required by the Torah. Now, most of those people obviously have come from anywhere from Dan to Beersheba. They may have never seen Jesus before, but here they are. They're all crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna means save us, Son of David, save us. And they all got caught up in the furor and the excitement, and they were filled with this fevered pitch of excitement. And you know what? Human nature has not changed in 2,000 years. We all get caught up in these fervors every now and then. You say, oh, not like that. No, we do it on social media. That's what viral posts on social media are, is that kind of crazed nonsense. You don't know what you're getting excited about, but hey, everybody else is excited, so I guess I need to get excited too. We have the same behavior, we just have a different form in which to express it. Father Chris last week was talking about the world view, and he was talking about an earthly view versus a kingdom view. Which did this crowd have? Well, when you look at what they're saying, Hosanna, save us, Son of David is, that's a messianic term. Save us, O Messiah, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's a quote right from the Psalms. We just heard it. Hosanna in the highest. Sounds very kingdom worldviewish. But this crowd which is crying out and caught up in the fervor of the moment, is going to be there all week. What are they going to be saying on Friday? Crucify him. Crucify him. Same crowd. Who were they? What were they doing? Who are you? What are you doing? We're entering this Holy Week, and we have been exhorted all through the season of Lent to seek him. But who are you, and who are you seeking? This is just part one of a two-part sermon, okay? So bear with me. We're going to go through this. You'll have to tune in later to hear part two, okay? But who are you? Who are you? As I was working on this sermon, I was reminded of a song I had heard, but I didn't know anything about. It was by The Who. Pete Townshend wrote it. And the title of the song is, Who Are You? It was the title track on an album. I didn't know anything about this song whatever. And it was after I quit listening to all that kind of rock music and stuff. So anyway.
It's a good song.
It is a good song. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought that it was a play on the name of the group. That's what I thought it was. But as I began to look further and to learn more about what was going on in that song, I found out there's a story behind it. And I'm going to share with you that story because it is apropos to the message that God is giving us today. See, Pete Townsend was basically the leader of the group, The Who. And so he went to London for a meeting with the record label to talk about all those legal things that go with the music ministry. He wanted to talk to them about royalties and about copyrights and all that. He spent 11 hours with the legal team that day, okay? And when it was all over, they handed him a royalties check. And it was a big check. It was a 6-digit check, okay? They handed him the royalty check. And as he picked it up, he started questioning, have I sold out? Have I sold out my art for money? And he started questioning himself. And so, as you would expect, he went immediately to a bar. That's how you deal with it. There's nothing better than to deal with it at the bar. Well, he gets to this bar and he sees two other musicians there that he knows. Paul Cook and Steve Jones of the punk rock Sex Pistols were there. And they immediately recognized him and they called him over and they started buying him drinks. And they were telling him how they were inspired by him and The Who. And that's why they were able to do what they're doing now. And they were so excited, they kept plowing him with drinks. And the more they talked, the more conflicted he got. Because he feared that not only had he sold out for money, but that The Who had sold out musically too, if this was what was coming out of it all. And they started saying, no, 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 you don't understand. This is great. I mean, we're really making it now, and it's all because of you. And we would have never imagined we could make this kind of money doing music, and you have inspired us, and we're doing great. And so he took out the check that he had just gotten, and he said, I've sold out. This is no good. And he tore that check into pieces, deposited in an ashtray, and walked out the door. And he didn't get more than a block away, passed out in the doorway of a business there. Punch drunk, he really was. Anyway, well, a Bobby, a cop, comes walking along, recognizes him, and calls him by name, wakes him up, says, Mr. Townsend, wake up. And he says to Townsend, he says, if you can get up on your own 2 feet and walk away, you can sleep in your bed tonight. And Townsend looks up at the cop and says, who the blank are you? But he was able to get on his own 2 feet and he walked away and he headed to the underground. We know it is a subway. And wondering about his good fortune, wondering about everything, he began to question, who am I? Who is it that's directing my life? And then he wrote, got home. He did make it home. And he didn't go to sleep. He sat down at his piano and he wrote the song, Who Are You? And the last two verses of that song are really very important to the message God's giving us today. He says, I know there's a place you walked where love falls from the trees. My heart is like a broken cup. I only feel right on my knees. I spit out like a sewer hole. And mind you, Pete Townsend has one of the foulest mouths of anybody. He can't speak two sentences without coming up with an F word in there. But I speak out like a sewer hole, yet still receive your kiss. How can I measure up to anyone now after such a love as this? Wow. Wow. Pete Townsend had a revival experience. He saw the Lord's hand at work. Love falls from the trees. He was convicted and he repented. My heart is like a broken cup. And he received the forgiveness of the Lord. Yet I still receive your kiss. Well, God is inviting us through the events of this Holy Week to walk with Jesus through these events. We've been seeking him through this season of Lent, but have we seen him? Are we really looking for him? Do we see Jesus, but do we know him? Do we know who he is? Jesus asked that central question of all of his disciples before Holy Week. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. Bishop Michael Marshall, who was bishop, Anglican bishop in the late 70s and early 80s, he said, "Every person on earth must answer this question before they die. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus? Who do I say Jesus is?" I think this is the crucial question for us as we enter into this Holy Week. Who do I say Jesus is? We have been exhorted to seek him, but who are we seeking? Why are we looking for him? And what are we hoping to find when we find him? Do I really want to find him? Because I know if I do find him, that he's going to want to change everything about my life. Am I comfortable with that? We need to ask the Lord, "Who are you?" And I exhort you during this Holy Week, ask it, "Who are you?" St. Paul, on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, St. Paul, when he had that transforming experience on the road to Damascus, when the light came, he said, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" And he received the answer. And everything changed. He changed. The church changed. The whole world changed. He received the answer. "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." And he accepted that answer. But do we really want the answer that Jesus is going to give us? Do we really want relationship with the one who will be Lord of our lives? Too often we want Jesus to be less than he is. We want a Savior, but we're not really interested in having somebody be Lord of our lives. We're happy to accept him as a guide, but we want to maintain control. We like some of his teachings, but we really don't want those teachings that meddle in our lives. But that's not who Jesus is. I loved what C.S. Lewis said about that. He said, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He didn't intend to. So many of us want to avoid the truth about Jesus. It's an uncomfortable truth. Think about this. How full will the churches be on Easter Sunday? And how many of those people will have been in church on Friday? You know, we changed Palm Sunday. Our parish changed it a number of years ago because this is technically, in the liturgical year, the Sunday of the Passion. And normally, in all the Anglican churches out there, all the Episcopal churches, all the Roman churches, they're all doing the Passion Gospel today. But as we began to pray about that and think about that, it just didn't make any sense. And so began to think through, well, the reason why they do the Passion Gospel on Palm Sunday is because you can't get to Easter without going through the cross. And the church has realized that people aren't going to come on Friday. We're too busy. We've got more important things to do than to observe the crucifixion of our Lord. And so we made the decision, we're going to treat our congregation with respect and say, we believe you're going to come on Friday. And so we're going to do Palm Sunday as Palm Sunday. And so we leave the Passion Gospel for Friday. You cannot have the resurrection without the crucifixion. He can't rise from the dead if he ain't dead. But we seek to avoid the cross. True worshipers worship the whole Jesus, not just the parts we like. In the meditation that Christopher wrote for this past Wednesday, he touched on this when he said, when we try to sand off the rough edges of the faith, we end up removing the cross and replacing it with a sort of therapeutic deism, a far away yet loving God who exists to make me feel better about myself and support my desires and who just wants me to be nice. Yeah. He's right. Who do you say Jesus is? Part one. We'll get the other part. Who do you say Jesus is? Are you seeking him? Are you seeking the whole Jesus? Are you looking for the love that falls from the trees? Are you walking in obedience to the Lord? Are you holding him in worship? Yes. This is a busy week. Miranda found opportunity for us to actually go out on Wednesday night to a play. And she has to work Tuesday night. She began to think, oh my God, I'm going to be out Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday night. Yeah, it's a busy week. And we all have lives to live. But here's the truth, my brothers and sisters. We may have lives to live, but without Jesus, we do not have life. You cannot get to Easter without Holy Week. You cannot truly celebrate the resurrection without experiencing the cross. You cannot rise with him unless you die with him. Who do you say Jesus is? You need to ask this week, who are you, Lord? Amen.